You're listening to Missing and Murdered Women, a podcast about the epidemic of violence against women as it was named by the World Health Organization. My name is Coda, and I am so excited to announce that we are halfway through our first season. I would like to say thank you so much to every person who has listened, who continues to listen, for joining me on this journey to give voices back to women who have been silenced. On episode 6 of Missing and Murdered Women, we are telling the stories of 21-year-old Teresa Bunn and 52-year-old Hazel Lewis, who were killed in Chicago in 2007. Let's get into it. Teresa Bunn was born on January 1, 1986, as the eldest of five children in Chicago, Illinois. She graduated from Inglewood High School and loved music and having fun. She was 5'3" and 135 pounds. She was 21 years old when she disappeared and 8 months pregnant with a son who she planned on naming Michael Perry Terry Bunn. She went missing on November 12, 2007, having told her family that she was going shopping or to the park and never making it home. That same night, the body of an African-American woman was recovered. It had been placed inside of an on-fire trash can in the 6100 block of South Prairie Avenue in Washington Park, Chicago. The medical examiner found that the person had been killed through means of strangulation. Teresa was identified as the victim using her dental records. Deputy Chief of Detectives Michael Shields said that there was evidence found that was sent off for testing, but no details were ever released. There was evidence of accelerants used on Teresa, but they were never publicly identified. "To me, this is her last place," said Anthony McRae, Bunn's father. "It shouldn't be here. They took our baby and burned her like she was garbage." The only other details released about Teresa was that she was the target of a restraining order filed August before she was murdered. It was by the man she identified as the father of her unborn child. He accused her of making threatening phone calls to both him and his family and threatening him with physical violence. The man claimed he was not the father of Bunn's child and in fact said they had never had sexual intercourse. She was arrested on charges of violating the order just 2 months before she was murdered. In a letter she wrote in response to the man's complaints against her, she accused him and his mother of trying to cause her to miscarry and said that she just wanted to be left alone. Just 2 days after the discovery of Teresa's body, a second body was recovered in a trash can just a few blocks away behind an elementary school. This body had also been strangled and burned, but there was no evidence of an accelerant. The victim was identified as 52-year-old Hazel Lewis. Hazel was born in Mississippi and went back and forth between Mississippi and Chicago growing up before settling on the South Side after she graduated. According to her cousin Renee Perry, she worked a variety of jobs, including both a legal secretary and a bartender. However, she was the happiest at home caring for her family. She has three children, all daughters, and was a grandmother and a great-grandmother. At the time of her murder, she was engaged to be married to a longtime partner. She was known for volunteering with the local homeless population. These two crimes are obviously horrific, which is why I was surprised that I could only find a few news articles on each, mostly repeating the same information from 2007. Over 13 years, very little new information has been released, and it seems like the Chicago Police Department has given up on these women. In fact, it's not just these women that the Chicago police aren't giving much attention to. An organization called the Murder Accountability Project has identified 51 African-American women since 2001 who were killed in similar circumstances to Hazel Lewis and Teresa Bunn. All were strangled or asphyxiated in Chicago, and most were found in alleyways, garbage cans, empty lots, or abandoned buildings. From the 51 victims, police have recorded 21 separate DNA profiles other than the victim's own DNA. Some victims have multiple DNA profiles taken from them, perhaps due to working as sex workers and having multiple partners. Many of these crimes appear sexually motivated. The Murder Accountability Project, according to their website, is a nonprofit group organized in 2015 dedicated to educate Americans on the importance of accurately accounting for unsolved homicides within the United States. They seek to obtain information from federal, state, and local governments about unsolved homicides and to publish this information. The project's board of directors is composed of retired law enforcement investigators, investigative journalists, criminologists, and other experts on various aspects of homicide. This is necessary, in their own words, because America does a poor job tracking and accounting for its unsolved homicides. Every year, at least 5,000 killers get away with murders. The rates at which police clear homicides through arrest has declined over the years until today about a third of homicides go unsolved. The website Upkeep is credited to Thomas Hargrove, a former White House correspondent and investigative journalist. The 51 women, along with other missing and murdered women of color in Chicago, have spawned a second group called Stop Taking Our Girls, founded by Rosie Dawson and Roberta Logwood. Logwood herself has been a victim of crime perpetrated against people of color in Chicago. When she was 17, she was the target of an attempted abduction where one man stole her cell phone and a second man pulled up to her while she was chasing him, trying to get her into his truck so they could chase the man together. "I did file a police report," Logwood said. "The dispatch told me this had happened before and they succeeded in kidnapping the girl." Roberta Logwood highlighted the DNA testing backlog as a reason why these crimes are not getting solved. Rosie Dawson highlighted the racial bias of police officers in handling these cases. "As far back as slavery, black women have never gotten the proper respect or due when it comes to what people care about. Black women are always being marginalized in every form. We just feel like some of the elected officials and police are not putting as much effort into stopping this." This is not the first time this season we are hearing this sentiment from activists dealing with missing women in Chicago. In fact, episode 4 of Missing and Murdered Women about the disappearance of Kanika Jenkins included similar quotes from the Black and Missing Foundation, Inc. For those unaware, the Black and Missing Foundation, Inc. is a nonprofit whose sole purpose is to maximize exposure of missing persons of color so they can receive the awareness they need to be reunited with their families. According to Banfi, only 13% of the American population is African American, but they make up to 40% of people reported missing and receive much less media coverage than their white counterparts. The lack of appropriate coverage is very evident in these two women's stories. They were killed in incredibly heinous ways just 13 years ago, and yet there are very few media articles about them. The articles that do exist cycle the same information without adding anything new, no matter how many years past the crime they were published. Very little is being done to solve these women's murders and bring a killer or killers to justice. This is why organizations like the Murder Accountability Project, Black and Missing Foundation, Inc., and Stop Taking Our Girls are so very important. Thank you so much for listening to the 6th episode of Missing and Murdered Women about the murders of Teresa Bunn and Hazel Lewis. I hope you join me on this journey to tell the stories of women who have had their voices taken from them. New episodes come out every Saturday. In the meantime, you can reach out with comments, suggestions, or corrections to @TheMMWPod on Twitter or Instagram, or email me directly at missingandmurderedwomenpodcast@gmail.com. Sources are cited in the show notes, as well as sources for music and links to all of the show's social media accounts. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends or leave us a review. Stay safe and come back next week.